Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy day after the night of the Super Bowl, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And happy, I think this is the day that more people call in sick than any other day in the entire year. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 4th, 2013, episode 586, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday!
So, yeah, basically, even though I am sick, this is probably the best I felt after Super Bowl Monday morning ever because I'm unable to drink. I just sat there and ate. My dad is actually visiting me, Glenn, and we are sitting down. It's about, well, you know, the game starts a couple hours earlier here. So, you know, I hadn't even had dinner ready by the time the game started. So I brought out some appetizers. And it was just my Chad is finally home, thank God. So I've been alone for a couple weeks, and I don't really recognize my habits. And so I've been alone, and then Chad comes home on Saturday, and then my dad comes to visit on Sunday, and I'm filling up everybody's plates, you know, with all the hors d'oeuvres. I've got chips and dip, of course. You have to have that. And then I've got hummus. And then then I had pizza. So we made pizzas. And then I made brownies. And I did. My dad was like, that is the eatenest woman I have ever seen in my entire life. Jesus, Dad. God. Just call me fat and pregnant. God.
Thank and you, I mean, all 5'2" of you, I have never seen you eat very much, even when we've been together.
Well, you know what's ironic is I actually can't eat that much at a time, so I just eat a lot over a long period of time. So, yes, it may look like I'm eating constantly, but I'm eating very slowly. Shut up, I'm not fat.
Now, I know that there must have been some mourning in the house last night. I mean, you had a roller coaster with your newly arrived home husband, who happens to be a big 49ers fan. I mean, at halftime, he must have been like ready to crawl under the couch, and then the power outage, and then the comeback, and then they lose anyway. I mean, my gosh,
it was tough. Yeah, Glenn, you're breaking up a little bit. Why don't you call back real quick? Okay. But it was tough. With the whole thing. And I actually talked to him about three quarters of the way through. I see, he said, see, that's what you get for being so negative. That's what you get because at halftime, he's like, this game is over. This game sucks. It's not going to happen. It's over. Might as well turn it off. And I'm like, don't you turn it off. I got commercials to watch. But I mean, it's like, you're so negative. And then about, you know, in the third quarter, I'm like, see, I told you shouldn't have been so negative. That's what you get for being so negative. And then, of course, they lose in the end, and it was very sad. And I actually left about 5 minutes. I couldn't take the pressure anymore. I had to get up. I couldn't sit next to him anymore. I had to go up fold laundry or something. I don't know what I did, but I had to leave because it was just too high stress. But, yeah, you guys just they quit so early. I'm like, I'm always rooting for a comeback. There's always a chance. But –
well, there
night.
Was. I mean, yeah, there was. I was ready to quit, too, at about halftime. But then the power outage had me fascinated. That was just kind of fun to watch because you don't ever see that happen. And I'm sure there were a lot of Baltimore fans that were crying conspiracy that, you know, it was done intentionally. And I never did. Did you ever hear what really did happen?
No, but I was sure that pretty much Beyonce caused it because she was on fire. And she pretty much lit the place up.
The best comment I saw last night on Facebook about the power outage, and I think it was from Alan, our host of the Western radio show, said the power went out when Beyonce unplugged her recorder.
Yeah. That's not funny. She was so working so hard to make sure that we realized she was singing live. Oh, my gosh. I mean, watching so many of the other people that have been up there, obviously Janet Jackson and Justin were not singing live. Obviously, who were the Black Eyed Peas? Maybe they were, but maybe they weren't. I'm trying to think of, like, kind of hip-hop dance acts like Madonna. There's no way she was singing live. But Beyonce was shaking it and singing at the same time. And I got to respect a woman like that. Come on.
You could tell, too, when she went into that real quiet song after all that dancing and shaking her booty, she was out of breath, you know, and you could hear it when she was starting to sing that song. She was really out of breath. So you knew she was singing live then.
And, excuse me, you can step aside for a second because I know this is not going to excite you, but, oh, my God, Destiny's Child had a reunion last night. But it's clear why Beyonce is the star of all of them because they started singing some Beyonce songs, put a ring on it. You like it, then you better put a ring on it. And she's just so much better than them. But it was really cool to see that reunion. You don't care at all, do you?
No,
you didn't
at
even
all.
Know that was Destiny's Child reuniting, did you?
No idea. Yeah, no idea.
God. Oh, boys.
Jennifer, what's coming up?
Sorry. On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, the most watched power outage in television history is in the books now. So today we can get down to the very serious business of picking the best and worst commercials. And after the awards segment, we will be checking in with Judy Fryer, winner of the preliminary singles division of the Sunshine State CDE that we went to this past weekend, and owner of said single horse, Dr. Wendy Ying, will be tagging along too. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. And, of course, Wiley, the voice of Horse Nation, is here with some happy first birthday headlines.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. My daily Winnie. My daily Winnie goes out to a good friend of the Horses in the Morning show, an eventer, and a girl with one of these. Happy birthday to Katie Murphy of Murphy Eventing up there in the Northeast. Actually, I think she's probably down in North Carolina right now. So happy birthday to Katie. I don't know how old she is. I would throw her under the bus, but I can't because I don't know. So here's yours.
Well, my daily Winnie has to go to Budweiser. Budweiser for putting on by far the best commercial of the entire Super Bowl and making it about horses and the relationship between humans and horses. I mean, come on, as a horse radio show and as horse people, all of you that listen to this, I mean, y'all had to be so proud of that commercial and just the emotion that even non-horse people, I mean, all from across the world, thought that was the best commercial, or at least one of the two best commercials of the entire thing.
Yeah, so I agree. I was looking around, and almost every website had that as the best commercial. Although, we had watched it before, because we had talked about it last week. There was something, though, there was horse people, we were watching with horse people last night, and there was something that struck all of us as we wish they hadn't put it in that commercial. And do you know what it was? Did it strike you too? There was one tiny little scene in that commercial that bothered us all as horse people.
No.
It was when he was sleeping in the stall. Okay, I've owned draft horses before. You do not sleep in their stall. They have really, really big feet, and they take up most of the stall. That was one thing about it a little bit.
that didn't cross my mind. And it, you know why? Because anytime I have a horse that lays down, I go out and lay down with him. And yeah, without a doubt. So no, you as a horse husband with draft horses, you might have thought that. Me, I was like, oh my God, he's sleeping in his stall. It's so beautiful. And here's the problem with that commercial. What? Go ahead.
No, you go. Go ahead.
The problem with that commercial is, yes, we had seen it before. And I described it to a T on this show. And when I watched it the first time, I cried. And then when I described it to you guys, it made me get very teary. And so last night it comes on, and I was waiting for it because I wanted Chad to see it. And I'm like, oh my God, here it is. And it comes on. And I cried again. Again.
You're a mess.
Because we have the DVR. Chad's like, oh, we got to watch it again. And I'm like, no, please don't. I don't want to watch it again. I don't want to see it. And he rewinds it and freaking plays it again. And, of course, I can't. I'm a mess after that. So, yes, that's the only problem I had with it. It was just, like, the guy, I think it was a combination of the horse-human relationship and that this man had raised his horse from a foal, but also the guy was really good-looking. And so all of that put together was just too much for me.
Well, there was a commercial I know Jennifer wants to talk about this morning. So let's talk commercials here. And we'll, all right, let's take out the Budweiser horse commercial because we're just accepting that everybody agrees that that was the best one. And let's go from there. Can we, you want to do that? Because we could talk all day about that one. So let's talk a little bit about the others. Did you have any other picks there, Jamie? You want me to go first or do you want to?
You can go first, and then I'll tell you mine, because I'm sure you've thought about it a little more than I have.
And Jennifer also has one that she wants to talk about at the end. I'll go do best first. My best one, besides taking out the Budweiser commercial, was God Made a Farmer with Paul Harvey, and I'll tell you why. One is, it was 2 minutes long, and, you know, we were all talking and stuff, and Jamie, do you hear me breaking up again?
Yes, you're breaking up again. Why don't you hang up and call back, and I'll have Jennifer tell hers. Because obviously, the God Made a Farmer with Paul Harvey, I mean, there's nobody's voice that affects me quite like Paul Harvey's does. So to me, that was, besides the Budweiser commercial, that was the best one. And it was amazing that these two commercials, where everybody tries to be so funny, these were two kind of emotional serious commercials with the God Made a Farmer and obviously it's the Dodge truck commercial, which I appreciate as well. I thought it was ironic that the two best ones were not hilarious, wacky humor. Jennifer, what's the one that affected you?
One of the favorites that I had was the Toyota RAV4 with Kaylee Cuoco. She's the RAV4 fairy or something they call her.
You like her because she's in the Nerd Show.
Well, and it was an awesome commercial, and my very favorite part of the whole thing is it's a family of four, and everybody goes through and makes their wishes. It's very funny. And the little girl says, I wish I was a princess. I totally love that commercial's take on I wish I was a princess.
And
did
what was the take
one?
Of it? Yeah, I still saw it, but I don't remember.
Well, typically, I wish I was a princess looks like something Cinderella. Their take on I wish I was a princess, they cut to this little, she looks like 9 years old, sitting on a Shetland pony, completely decked out in armor, as is the Shetland pony.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And she says, avenge my father's death. And, of course, that gets upset. And they charge across the battlefield. It's awesome. Straight out of Brave.
Yes, exactly. She was straight out of Brave, wasn't it? That's right.
I love that one.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh,
that's a good one.
There's another one she liked, too. But we'll save that for last. Am I any better? Am I still breaking up?
You're all right. You're a little bit better. Well, I think my favorite one besides the farmer one was probably the best, but I love the Cars.com wolf puppy.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good.
When he's like, oh, wait, that's it? That's all we had to do was just buy the car? They're like, was that not enough drama for you? Oh, here. And he hands her a puppy, and she's like, oh, my God, it's a puppy. He's like, that's not a puppy. That's a wolf. And over there is her overprotective mother, Wolfen. And he's like, give her the puppy back. Give him the puppy back. That was great.
Yeah, that was a really good one for a twist. That is not what you expected from that commercial.
No, no, I like that one. What else did you have, Glenn?
Well, I do have the audio from God Made a Farmer. Do you want to hear Paul Harvey?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
And on the eighth day, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody willing to sit up all night with a newborn colt and watch it die, then dry his eyes and say, maybe next year. I need somebody who can shape an axe handle from a persimmon sprout, shoe a horse with a hunk of car tire, who can make harness out of hay, wire, feed sacks, and shoe scraps, who planting time and harvest season will finish his 40-hour week by Tuesday noon, and then painting from tractor back put in another 72 hours. So God made a farmer. God said, I need somebody strong enough to clear trees and heave bales, yet gentle enough to yean lambs and wean pigs and tend the pink-combed pullets, who will stop his mower for an hour to splint the broken leg of a meadowlark. So God made a farmer. It had to be somebody who'd plow deep and straight and not cut corners. Somebody to seed, weed, feed, breed, and rake, and disc, and plow, and plant, and tie the fleece, and strain the milk. Somebody who'd bale a family together with the soft, strong bonds of sharing. Who would laugh, and then sigh, and then reply with smiling eyes when his son says that he wants to spend his life doing what Dad does. So God made a farmer.
You know, I think that what caught us all off guard about that one was it caught us off guard. There was not a sound being made when we watched that one in the room. And it just was so poignant. And you're right. I think any of us that are in radio or that wanted to be in radio or ever dreamed of being in radio, Paul Harvey was the idol. He's a god that we all looked up to because 70 years he did that and, you know, into his 90s. And when you heard Paul Harvey's voice, you knew it was Paul Harvey.
When Paul Harvey came on, you got quiet no matter what. Yeah. I mean, and you don't have to be in radio. I mean, I was a kid when I listened to Paul Harvey. I could have been 6 years old and he'd start talking and he's on. And now you know the rest of the story. So, yeah, when you hear Paul Harvey, it's just so good.
And weren't you always mad when you were in the car listening to the rest of the story and something happened that you didn't hear the end? It was like, oh, man, I never heard the rest of the story.
All I know is that Citrical was something that I should drink.
That's right.
Because Paul Harvey said so. Good night. Yeah, I miss him. I do. I really wish he was back on somewhere, or at least reruns.
Now, I do have a couple other here. So let's go through some of the others real quick here. By the way, am I any better? I switched mics.
Yeah,
so
much better.
Okay. All right. Honorable mention I give for one of the best to the Doritos goat commercial. I just thought that was funny. Do you remember which one that was? The goat starts eating all the Doritos, and then the guy takes all of the Doritos and hides them from the goat, and the goat smashes down the door. I just thought that was funny. And that was the user-generated or the customer-generated commercial. Doritos does one every year where people submit their commercials. Well, that was actually from a Doritos fan, that commercial. So I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one. And then an honorable mention for me would be Where Do Babies Come From?
Oh,
Daddy,
yes.
Where do babies come from?
That was a great commercial.
That was great. And he's like, oh, a land called Babytopia. And the whole thing. Oh, my gosh. And then he's like, really? Because Nate said that they came from Mommy and Daddy. Ah! And then they asked the car to do something. So apparently Kia next year is going to be a really cool car. For mommies and daddies, keep that in mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought about you when I saw that commercial. I said, oh, that's where Jamie's baby's coming from.
I think I appreciated it more as a pregnant woman. But what was your next one?
The most disturbing commercial that I have ever seen ever is, and GoDaddy does this just so we're going to talk about it. And, you know, they know that everybody today is talking about the GoDaddy kissing commercial. That was disturbing.
Oh, yeah. You know what? If I can give you a little insight on that one. First of all, yeah, you're right. The volume, I didn't need to hear the kissing. Like, it was like.
Or see it that close.
Really, but do you know who that chick was?
No.
Okay, her name is Bar Raffelli. That is a Leonardo DiCaprio's ex-girlfriend of like 5 years.
That's why you know.
I do. Of course, I know everything about Leo. And they were like, and now here's Bar Raffelli. I was like, oh my God, it's Leo's ex-girlfriend in a commercial. Oh, wait. Oh my God. Do you think Leo is laughing his butt off right now? That's all I could think of. Was like, Leo's like, wow, she went from me to that guy.
I wouldn't say it was the worst commercial. It was just disturbing. It was the most disturbing commercial. And, you know, the GoDaddy commercials are just disturbing anyway. And I love Danica Patrick. She's just absolutely one of the most beautiful women in the world. And, oh, they're just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, the other one, I don't know. This would be my most "where did that even come from" commercial, and that was the Jamaican ad for the VW. The guy talking Jamaican, and then
yes.
It caused a lot of controversy. And I don't get the controversy. You know, they caused a lot of controversy because he was using a Jamaican accent. Well, I'm sorry, comedians all the time use Southern accents or Russian accents or whatever. I don't get the whole accent thing. I think that was fine, but it was just a like one of those commercials. You go, what? It just didn't make any sense. So that was...
Apparently, when you drive a VW, you just go to Jamaica and get high. That's what you do. That's what I took.
That's the flower, like, in the little flower bowl. Yeah.
Yeah. But my one that was, where did that come from, was the Stevie Wonder in the chair. Like, he was the luck god, and... You had to bring, I don't know, but Stevie Wonder sucking the luck out of the chair, I didn't get it.
I didn't get it either. I don't even remember what it was for, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't either. Probably Doritos or something. But and then the one other one that I liked, which you'll appreciate, it was the Joe Montana ad where the guy dropped and spilled. He was eating chips and dip, and he dropped some dip on his shirt, and it came out the face of Joe Montana. And they were like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joe Montana.
And then he washed his shirt.
Yeah. That was funny.
That was pretty good. Another one that was just like, let's just start here. I hate wedding ads. Anything that has a wedding in a commercial just doesn't work for me. I don't know why. But then that Century 21 commercial where the guy passes out and everything, I just hate wedding ads. So I guess that was why I threw that one in there.
I don't know. I don't know if I saw that one, but well, I would love to know what all our listeners' favorites and least favorites were. And we posted the Hulu link on our Facebook page as to where you can go and see all of these ads. And what's great about the Hulu link is there's like basically no commercials involved at all. And as far as in between the commercials you want to watch. So just commercial after commercial, go through them, take a look at them. And we'd love to know what your favorite or your least favorite or your, this is the weirdest one or this is the most disturbing one. Just go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Now, Jennifer, did you have one that you thought was the best?
Well, and I told Glenn this one as soon as it came on because he said, well, make sure you pay attention to the ads and pick your favorite. The advertisement with the best artistic content. It was beautifully made. It was subtle. It was a joy to the eye.
Gangnam
and it also
South
made me want to go out and buy the product. Which one?
Gangnam Style Pistachios.
It was the Calvin Klein ad.
Oh, God. That was delicious. You're right. Artistic, beautiful, serious. It affected me. Did it affect you, Jennifer?
Yes, it made me want to run right out and buy that product. Absolutely.
If they
for
sold
me,
it
apparently.
As a whole. No.
I had to tell her. I had to explain to her, I don't care how many of those fares you buy me. I ain't going to look like that. You know, it's just not the way it works. I know the commercial wants you to think that. But
There are very few men on the planet who would look like that, which is why when you buy that product, you expect it to come with the guy wearing it. That's why I would buy it.
I think that's extra. Probably a little more than $12.99.
Maybe. Maybe just a little bit, but it'd be worth it. It'd be worth it. Take out a mortgage.
All right. Anything? Anybody else? Anybody? I think I've run down my list now. I thought overall, obviously, trucks and booze are who have the money to sponsor Super Bowl. Cars and booze.
Cars and beer and chips.
Yes.
Now, Glenn, how much?
12 commercials? Jeez.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And what were they, 4 million of a commercial? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, pretty close to 4 million.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy. $4 million to let us know that where babies come from, or you can go to cars.com. I mean, and it's just amazing that so many people can spend so much, like Budweiser. That just goes to show you just how much we're overpaying for beer.
Sure.
Especially Budweiser beer.
And Doritos.
And Doritos. Yeah, exactly. Wow, they must really—they must not charge anything. It just must cost nothing to make a Dorito.
However, Jamie and I and Jennifer would like to have a disclaimer here. If anybody is willing to pay us $4 million, we would be happy to overcharge them for a commercial.
Yeah, that's ridiculous, though. We pay Super Bowl prices. But, I thought the commercials were good, and I thought Beyonce as the halftime show was really good, and except for the game, everything else was good. And I thought it was exciting to see the power outage. I thought it was hilarious. I just was so glad it didn't happen when Beyonce was on the stage. That's all I could think about. She must be so relieved right now.
Oh, by the way, Jennifer looked it up, and apparently there was a blame game going on about the power outage. The city energy department is blaming the stadium people. The stadium people are blaming the energy department, and the police apparently were in on it. And apparently the fire department was called because there was a smell of gas, and so it was just a mess.
You know who I blame? There's only one person to blame, and that's Katrina. I'm sure it's Katrina related.
I'm surprised that didn't come up, actually.
I know. I was waiting for it to come up. I'm like, we had a not broke these levees. But no.
I said I was some drunk guy on Bourbon Street tripped over a power cord. But, yeah, you never know.
Probably.
So let's you do the commercial thing. Your sound seems to be a little better than mine today, and then we'll come back to our first guest.
Oh, it's tough right now. It's your sound. But anyway, well, Omega Alpha, thank you so much for being a sponsor of today's show. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. And Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses. And that's why they only use natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. When I say natural ingredients available, for those of you who are competing that are having some problems or want to supplement your horses, these are non-testable. These are completely legal products. One of the products that we're talking about is Respifree, and Respifree is used as a first-line treatment for breathing problems. I think I've almost been tempted to drink some of it this week. It has a convenient combination of airwaves, lungs, flush, and Herbicough that is used for horses with severe breathing problems such as COPD and heaves. It's also beneficial for horses that race on synthetic surfaces or are ridden on synthetic surfaces, which can contribute to respiratory problems. And also it can be used to treat respiratory conditions, especially infections of the upper respiratory tract. And it also supports the lungs and aids in drainage. So Respifree has a natural antihistamine action that alleviates allergic symptoms. Man, I should take this stuff. That's all. Get out of the commercial. I'm going to go drink some Respifree. You can find Respifree and all of Omega Alpha's terrific natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com, or most of the time you can find it in your local tech store. Thanks, Omega Alpha Equine.
Yeah, it does sound like you need some of that. I called back on the phone until I can get my other situation. Is this better?
I don't know. I think so. Sounds a lot better.
Okay, good. So we'll get that situation during the song, try and figure that out. But we do have our first guest calling in here, and actually there's an amazing story behind this. Not just that our very own Dr. Wendy Ying's horse was the winning horse, but we're going to be speaking to Wendy and Judy Fryer from Sarasota, Florida, who competed in the Sunshine State combined driving event over the weekend here at the Florida Horse Park. She was in the preliminary single horse division, and we got them both hopefully on here. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know you guys must be tired having done that all weekend and then driving back home to Sarasota, but I wanted to have you on because it's kind of an amazing story and on several fronts. First of all, Judy, congratulations.
Thank you.
That was terrific. We were so excited. We got to see you on Marathon Day, and you were like you were the fastest on Marathon, weren't you, through all the obstacles?
Yes, I won 5 with them out of 6.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Now, what we're talking about is a combined driving event is like a regular event that you would see ridden like Jamie does, where the first day is dressage, and they do a dressage with the carriages. And then it's either single, pair, or they can even be 4 horses. And then the second day they do a marathon course. It's like what Jamie does, only they have obstacles they have to drive through, and they're fairly complicated obstacles, and they go a long distance. They're out there driving for a very long time. And then the third day they have what's cones, and it's sort of like the stadium would be for the riders, where they drive in between cones and try not to knock balls off at the precision thing with the driver. So you did very well and were first place after the marathon day that we got to see. And then cones must have went very well because you ended up winning the thing.
I did, yes. I was 0.20 ahead of the second driver. So there was no room for any mistakes. Because he wasn't kind enough to knock any cones off.
And each cone, like if you hit a cone, it's 3 points. So she had to go clear on the balls. Like she couldn't hit any cones. And then she had to go clear on time penalties. Because for every second you're over time, you get half a penalty point. So if she was even 1 second over, she would have dropped down to second.
Oh, wow.
No pressure. No pressure.
No pressure.
Well, I want to get to Judy's story here. But first, tell us a little bit about your horse. We had a couple of questions when I posted this on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. We had a couple of questions about your horse, Dante. Tell us a little bit about Dante, Wendy.
Well, Dante, I've had him and his brother Duke since they were 4 years old, and they used to always drive pair when I got them. And then I realized that they weren't weaned from each other as 4-year-olds. So they started riding and driving single. And as a 6-year-old, Dante was competing at the FEI level as a single. And then in 2008, he was the national champion for the USEF. And then I started driving him and Duke in the lead of my team for the four in hands. And I competed them at the FEI level with the four in hands. And then when I stopped doing the four in hands after 2010, they've been, you know, I've been driving them pair with some young ones and all that. And then I board at Judy's barn, and both of her competition ponies, who she shows her ponies intermediate level, and both of her ponies had injuries this year, so we're off for the season. So we decided, oh, well, why don't you just take Dante? And he actually has not been competed single since 2008, I guess. And so, I mean, it's a big change to go from single, from the team, to go back to single. And Judy's been driving him, what, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And she did one show at Black Prong, which was 2 weeks ago, and then she did this show. So they've really come along quickly. She's just pretty much a catch ride, and she's driving him beautifully.
And Judy, I think there's an amazing story here, and I know I'm going to throw you under the bus a little bit, but I think Wendy already warned you, so it's fair.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got into horses?
60.
60, and you're what? How old now?
74.
74, wow. And you're out there winning competitions, driving. And the amazing story there is you get into horses when you're 60, and then, you know, you're still doing it at 74. And whenever we see, nobody thinks of you at 74, by the way.
Well, that's lovely. That's very nice. Well, there's a judge from England calls me the Galloping Granny.
Yeah, because it's not just like plodding around in the carriage, you know. I mean, on marathon phase, you're judged on your time through the hazard, so every second counts. So she goes in there galloping like a madwoman. It's a little bit dangerous.
It's sort of dangerous, yeah.
And you were galloping around. Dante can move, so
just say yip to Dante, and he goes from a trot into a full gallop. One yip. And I'm coming out of one hazard, and I wait till I'm straight, obviously, before I yip. And I got excited, and I was on a bend, and I yipped, and the carriage went on two wheels, and I thought I'd lost my navigator. And she said, little early on the yip there.
We were very lucky to, we train with Tremont Farm with Randy and Keedy Caswell. Oh. So Judy got to take Keedy with her on marathon. So she had a...
She was amazing. She keeps you calm. She knows exactly the timing. And she said, now walk. And I'm thinking, is she crazy? We don't want to have kilt horse. I better listen to her. She's the expert. Then now trot. No, slowly. Yeah. She wanted to come in right in the middle of the window. And she was making me a nervous. But what a great navigator. And, you know, she was terrific, terrific.
Yeah, so that's what's great about driving is like a real team sport, like not just out there on your own.
Yeah, if you can just drive and not worry about the timing or the course and just concentrating on the driving, it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
I think it's a testament to driving, too, that the fact that you are 74, it's a sport that you can do, you know, forever. That you can't say that about all the written sports and, you know, certainly other sports that aren't horse.
Start them at 60. And the thing about driving is that everybody is so incredibly helpful. I'm walking a hazard and the world champion comes up to me and gives me advice. And what sport would a world champion be there, even at the same show as you, even? So you're driving the same course as they're driving, and when you finish driving, you can go and watch them drive. I mean, it's incredible. I think it's the only sport that you can do that in.
And then they'll come and
help you, just, you know.
You're out there doing your thing, and this person comes up and tells you, did you go tell them to mind their own business?
Not the world champion, no.
Hey, excuse me, mind your own business. I'm over here trying to work.
No.
Tell me what to do.
I guess you could always say, well, who do you think you are? And they can say, I'm world champion.
Yes, great. Well, yeah. I'm 74, so suck it.
And when you're driving against younger men, they sort of look and think, oh, I don't have to worry about her. You know, and then you win and they're looking at you. Because I came up from sixth to first after the marathon, which is... Yeah, so I beat all these young men.
So great.
A horse like that is like a dream. I mean, he is just amazing. He's just a little click of your finger and he responds. And it is a little bit, you have to get used to it because you can really overdrive him at first if you're not used to driving a horse like that because you have to be so gentle and so, you know, giving to him. And he's just... Oh, I can't tell you how wonderful he is. Yeah, he's full of treats now. I don't think he can move.
I got to tell you, Judy, when I was with Wendy on the marathon course on Saturday, she was one nervous mama. I have never seen Wendy was like, I can't talk to anybody right now. I have to just go over here and pace.
She
was waiting for you to
pace in time.
I'm like that when I watch my husband driving my pony. I relax in the whole show when he comes through the finish gate of Eve because he drives her so fast.
Yeah, and Judy's husband Philip drives a single pony too. They mostly are in the same division. They go head to head, and it's actually really fun to watch them compete against each other.
Me too. The girls all scream for me, and the men scream for him. So that,
well,
you know,
this is.
Makes it-
congratulations, guys. We really appreciate you joining us here this morning, and good job over the weekend. Are you going to be driving Dante over at Live Oak, which is one of the biggest driving shows here in the United States?
I'm driving him at Little Everglades because the two shows are sort of a championship.
Okay.
So I have to win that one and win the championship, the two. And then, no, I'm giving Dante up, and I have to go back to driving my ponies because I can't drive him in the higher level, I don't think. And I think
I think
Dante's going on to glory.
Well, congratulations again. And, of course, you can hear Wendy at the Driving Radio Show, the drivingradioshow.com. I know we have a lot of listeners that listen to Horses in the Morning, also listen to driving. And I wanted to say that I did post a video of Judy driving Dante through the water hazard on Saturday on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. Just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see that video if you want to see what that's like. So
thank you
both. We appreciate you being there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
It's a lot of fun, Jamie, to go watch the driving marathon day because they are crazy going through those obstacles. And I mean fast.
Yeah.
Some of them are really fast.
It sounds cool. I mean, I would love to see even the dressage day, you know, just because I've seen the dressage arenas and they're so huge, and to be able to, you know, it's hard enough to navigate a horse that you're sitting on in a dressage arena appropriately, to be able to drive one in there and then to the next day have a horse, you know, it's like eventing. I mean, it's so cool because you have a horse that can contain himself and behave in an arena in a controlled setting, and then the next day go out and just tear it up on cross country. I do think that they need a sexier name for something other than cones. Seriously, that's what it's called? Cones?
Well, that's because that's what it is. It's all these red cones that have little tennis balls on top. And you drive between them, and they have a pattern that you have to drive between them. And they give you 2 inches from the size of your wheels to the cone on each side. So you have a clearance between the cones of 2 inches. And they make tight turns and stuff like that. So it's our version of jump,
call
you know, stadium.
Agile turning, I don't know, but something sexier than cones. Yeah, I mean, really, it's crazy.
And they still do roads and tracks, too, by the way, which was,
wow.
Eventing gave that up, where they do the miles and miles of driving even before they get to marathon. They're
not
out there, get this, 40 minutes driving before they ever get to the obstacles.
Now, is that every single one of these? And then how many combined driving events can you do with a horse? Because I know it's you could only do one or two long formats a year in eventing.
Yeah, I said she said that she did one 2 weeks ago. She did one, you know, this weekend, and she'll do one again in 2 weeks. So, it's, you know, the driving horses, they do use them for driving a lot. So they're used to it. And it's not like they're not carrying somebody on their back. They are pulling, which is a lot of work. But it is a little bit different, I think, in nature. Jennifer could probably speak to that more than me, of why you can get away with that with driving and you can't with eventing. I don't know the answer to that. Jennifer, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, and keep in mind that Dante and Judy are competing at preliminary level.
That's true. Yeah.
So from the carriage driving point of view, it's a lower level, therefore a shorter and slightly slower course than you would see at intermediate advanced. So just like in ridden eventing, the higher up the levels you go, the less often you can compete because the more stressful it is for the horse.
Gotcha.
There you
okay.
go.
Well, cool. That's just awesome that she's out there doing that. And now I have to ask you guys another question. Did or did not you go to a tractor pull this weekend?
Oh, it was fun. Yeah, it was good times. You just, I don't know what happened between your father and his southern redneck roots and you. What happened there?
Hold on, let me ask him. He's in here right now. Dad, have you ever or would you ever want to go to a tractor pull?
We went to one in Yarmouth
years ago. He's been to them. Oh, God.
All right, let me repeat my question. Whatever happened between your redneck father, who lives in the South, and you? What generation got skipped there? There's some genes that are missing.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Being in a tractor pull, we were like, oh, my God, it's so loud. We can't even hear something. Like, okay, put me at a rock concert. and drown out my hearing and I'd be okay. Not at a tractor pull with exhaust fumes and gas and just stink and rednecks and all sorts of stuff. Talk to me about what that was like.
Oh, that was fun. We have a good time. Now, this one is a little different because it's sort of done in a semi-indoor arena. So what they do that's unique, because you saw, I don't know if you saw the video I posted of the trucks blowing the black smoke, and that just fills the arena. And what the way they get it out is true Florida, because there's one thing we have in Florida that you don't see in too many other places, and that's airboats, the boats with the big fans on the back. Well, they have two of those set up at the end of the arena, and they crank up the airboats to clear the exhaust out, and those are louder than the trucks. I mean, they are loud. But, in a couple of seconds, that arena is cleared out. It's kind of neat how they do that. But no.
Why?
Is
your face black, like your teeth black after it? And did anybody wear some sort of air ventilator protector thing over your face to make sure you're not breathing the stuff in? I mean, it sounds like a hazard. Like, did you leave there feeling like you had smoked 20 packs of cigarettes?
No, actually. No, it's fine. I mean, just, yeah. I'll tell you what, we need to take you out more. You're just so sheltered.
Oh, my God, please. I just do other stuff. Jennifer, let's be honest. Can we be honest? Just talk to me for real. Did you enjoy the tractor pull, or did you think it was loud and stinky?
I love tractor pulls.
I need to take you guys out.
and they had two trucks that parts of the engine went flying up into the hood of the truck, and big black smoke and flames came out the tailpipes, and they blew up halfway through their run. I love those.
Yeah, she loves when the trucks blow up. The other thing they had that went on all night too was the lawn tractors. I mean, lawn tractors, like, you know, little lawn track, Cub Cadets, stuff like that, that they've modified to soup them up. And then they pull weights too. And you'll get there was one little 3-year-old girl out there on her lawn tractor, you know, pulling.
So cute. And they're required in the children's class. They have to be stock lawnmowers, so they only go about 1/10 of a mile an hour. But the kid has to drive, and the dads are required to have a cutoff switch tied to a string, and they have to walk next to them the whole way down. It's so freaking cute.
You guys are rednecks. I mean,
they have the fanciest motorcycle helmets they can find on, and their little Cabela's. Suits. It's so adorable.
Yes, we are. We're Pennsylvania rednecks. No question about it.
I found myself at a go-kart race once, and I was like, now, it doesn't get trashier than this, but you guys win. You guys win.
All right, let's take a break. I'm going to try to get my sound figured out and get off the phone here. So let's take a break for a song, and we're going to come back. Leslie Wiley will be here from Horse Nation with that report. Plus, Jamie, I have for you an amazing race that happened over the weekend that Udy let us know about with a horse by the name of Revolutionary. It was just an amazing race. So we're going to have that for you right after our song here today. So we'll be right back after this.
Real tall, I won't worry about nothing else.
Well, I don't hear the song anymore, so I guess it's over. And I don't know, Jen and Glenn, are you guys there? Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Thank you so much. And the song, of course, was When I Get Where I'm Going by Templeton Thompson. And we're going to have Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation on here in a minute, but I do want to hear that the race that Glenn was talking about just a second ago. Glenn, are you there? Yep, still just me. I hope you guys can hear me. Oh, well. I lost everybody at the same time. Hey, I can give you some news. I'll give you a little bit of news. The news is that this coming Triple Crown races, the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont, there are some horses that have already been nominated. And that number of horses nominated for, you know, they're only going to have a 20-horse field for the Kentucky Derby, and that's usually the most that they'll have. 369 horses have been nominated for the Triple Crown races so far. So basically they have to be nominated by January 26th, and it costs $600 to nominate the horse. So that's 369 horses that have been nominated. There's going to be a lot of people that are not excited when they have to, oh, my God, we have this horse that we should have nominated. And if you nominate your horse by March 23rd, it's $6,000. So that's the late nomination period. So we may even see more horses that are nominated for the Derby field. It has been limited to 20 starters since 1975. So it's going to be interesting because they've got a whole new eligibility system this year. There are only 14 allowed for the Preakness, 16 allowed for the Belmont Stakes. So we are going to have a hard time trying to narrow it down, but that's the way that it works. Glenn, you back? Seriously? Not back yet. All right, well, I'll just keep talking to myself. And you know how I can do that? Because next
of the place, but he's not here.
What now? Jennifer?
Yes?
Okay, I totally didn't hear all of what you just said.
Glenn is in the building, but Glenn is not on the air.
Okay, well, then I'll just keep talking. Hey, now, you know the horse. If I say the horse's name, Sapphire, Jennifer, you know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, show jumper extraordinaire.
Yes, Sapphire is the mare who won gold at the 2004 and 2008 Olympic gold Olympic Games and silver at World Equestrian Games in 2006. Well, she was the trusty steed of McLean Ward, and she is living out her retirement in New York at pretty much she's getting to be a horse. She's rolling in the dirt. She's hairy. She has not been body clipped this year for the first time ever, and she is just loving life. Being turned out with another horse, actually one of her arch rivals in the show jumping world, she's being turned out with. Well, Goldica and her are having a great time. Now, if you missed seeing Sapphire in the show jumping ring, need not worry, because both of her clones are 3 years old this year, and they've started training. So they have clones of Sapphire, and let's see, their names are Sally and Kara. Those are the barn names. I don't know what their actual show names are. I'll find them in a minute. But yes, she is cloned twice. So, and shockingly, they are chestnut mares with big white blazes. Can you imagine?
Now, am I reading this correctly that not only have they cloned her, but they also have several recipient mares carrying foals in addition to the clones?
Yeah.
How,
they're cashing in on Sapphire.
They may as well put her on the GM Chrysler production line.
Well, really? You know what? If I had that horse, I'd do the same dang thing.
It's not cheap either, cloning.
No, but can you imagine how I can't wait to see cloning pan out and see what happens? Because to me, yes, it takes a great horse, but it takes a great life to make a horse. You know, it takes all the pieces falling into place to get a horse. You know, say you're training a horse to jump Jen, you know what I'm talking about, too. When you get to that point where you've pushed them a little too far and you freak them out. What if they push one of Sapphire's babies too far and it freaks them out and she don't want to jump anymore?
Your Saj comes to mind.
yeah.
Hey, am I back? Can you actually hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Let's hope it's better.
Let's hear the race.
All right, this is a Windstar Farms horse revolutionary who now has, thanks to this race, has won 10 points on the road to the Kentucky Derby. So it's a three-year-old, the son of Warpath. And you're going to hear the amazing thing about this horse in this race, and I think the commentary will say it all, so let's listen. It takes a second for it to get started here, I guess. Try it again.
And they're off, and stumbling badly at the start was 1A Valid. And Valid
listen for Revolutionary
is the early trailer. Escape from Reality is the early leader. Siete de Oros on the outside. They're racing for the clubhouse turn. It's Escape from Reality and Siete de Oros, and they are right together with Long River down on the inside in third. Smooth Burt's on the outside in between those two, Amerigo Vespucci. Revolutionary is sixth, about five lengths from the front. Alongside is the maiden champion boy. And after that bad start, Valid is the trailer. The opening quarter mile in 24 1/5 seconds. Up the back stretch, Siete de Oros leads by a neck. Smooth Burt in second. And Long River is racing in third and gaining some ground. Four wide is Amerigo Vespucci. Escape from Reality is down at the rail in fifth. Then Champion Boy, followed by Valid and Revolutionary now, trails the field. The half mile in 48 seconds. They go for the far turn. New York bred Smooth Burt pokes ahead in front of Siete de Oros. Long River, Amerigo Vespucci, gain as a team on the outside, and now four of them are heads apart. A break of three to Escape from Reality, then Champion Boy, Valid, and Revolutionary. Three quarters in one, 12-2, and the field for the Withers in the stretch. Siete de Oros battles on at the rail. Smooth Burt is now second. Here's Escape from Reality gaining ground on the outside. Escape from Reality, Siete de Oros, and Revolutionary's putting in a late run inside the 16th pole. Escape from Reality, here's Revolutionary, who was last at the top of the stretch, and he got up to win it. Revolutionary by a head to...
Holy cow, that's so cool. They're like, and Revolutionary's in the end, and Revolutionary's in the back end. Oh, my God, Revolutionary.
And the thing, if you watch the video, you're going to see that Revolutionary was pinned against the rail. And when we're talking about, he didn't make his move to about 200 yards from the finish. And he had to go, he went in a little bit on the rail, and then he got blocked, and he actually cut across a couple horses. I mean, he had to make a move to win that race and came out of nowhere. So he's one that I think we're going to be watching for the Kentucky Derby here.
Well, and it was no chump change of a race, $200,000 race. So that's pretty good. Yep. If you're going to win one, win that one.
And they have that new system. I think you were talking about the number of horses that have qualified. They have that new system that they actually have to win points now to be part of the race. So that's the first year for that this year, isn't it? I think.
I believe so, yeah. I know they changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, so there it is. That was a fun race. Thank you to Yudi for pointing that out to us.
Now let's go ahead and post that link on our Facebook page as well, because when you hear the audio, you want to see the video. So go ahead and we'll put that on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page for you.
Very good. Well, I think that we have Leslie ready for you, Jamie.
Well, fantastic. It's one of my, it's nice to have every Monday morning your BFF on the radio. It's with you, even though we've never met.
nice.
And this is Leslie from Horse Nation. What's up, girl?
Oh, nothing. How are you guys doing?
Doing just fine, getting over the flu. And I've got to ask another event or two, because I find it so incredibly frustrating that when you're sick, it's like the only reason I won't ride my horse. I've been riding this entire pregnancy and getting it all done, but the flu has actually taken me out of the tack for 4-5 days in a row now.
No.
Has it happened to you, or my horrible mother?
It has. I keep getting sick this winter, and I think, and it's one of those things your mom really was right. You know, if you keep, you know, driving yourself out to the barn and riding in the cold and the winter weather, you're not going to get any better. And I think sometimes you just really, like, the best possible thing, even though it's hard and counterintuitive, you have to take a step back and, you know, just take it easy.
Gosh, you're mean.
Learn that from my mama.
Well, calling your mama. Yeah, no, I mean, it's just been physically impossible. But, you know, when you don't ride, it's like you, when you had your little meltdown and you ran, went south, it's like when you don't ride, you just feel like a terrible horse owner.
Don't you? I know.
I mean,
your horse doesn't actually care. Like, he's out there, like, what was her name again? Like, they don't care.
Where's that lady that feeds us? Okay, here she comes. All right, good. Okay, she left.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Turn me out now. But yeah, I totally get it. They don't care. Okay, good. I feel like when I walk outside, they're staring at me like, what happened? Why aren't you
talking? Why are we not
Why aren't
practicing
you
our shoulder in? No,
yeah.
That's not what goes through their head. No.
Jamie, I hate to remind you of something, but very shortly, you're not going to be riding for a while.
Watch your mouth. That's not true. I'm sending horses to Leslie. She's going to keep them exercised for me.
Okay.
So what is going on Horse Nation?
Oh, gosh. Well, we had, you know, we had big Super Bowl festivities. Well, I wouldn't say Super Bowl. I would say Budweiser Clydesdale festivities over the weekend. So that was exciting. We had we celebrated our 1-year anniversary last week, so that was huge.
Yay.
Yeah, we made it an entire year.
Congratulations.
Kicked off the internet. Yep.
Now, I was looking on here, and, you know, just because we touched on it a little bit, what is the article that Burger King says there's horse meat in the Whoppers? What?
Well, you know, this is something that I need to investigate for myself on a personal level, because I keep seeing these sort of, the headlines were just all over the place. They're like, Burger King, horse meat's in your burger, and then like, no, there's horse meat in the burgers, but they didn't get sold, or whatever, you know, like, I was like, what is going on with this, really and truly? And I guess what actually happened was, so at first, you know, it came out that Burger King, or at least Burger King's in the UK and Ireland, shared a supplier with, you know, the supermarkets that were selling the contaminated burger.
Right.
He kind of kept up with all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, but Burger King was like, oh, no, we're fine. There's no worse than our burgers. Don't worry about us. And they still dropped the supplier. But then late last week, I think it was Thursday, they got DNA test results back from some of the burgers at the plant that they were using, that, you know, the supplier they're using, and they did have horse meat, very, very small trace amounts of horse DNA in them. However, the samples that they had DNA tested from actual restaurants, actual Burger Kings, did not. So the working theory is that hopefully, you know, the ones that were contaminated never made it out of the, you know, past the plant. Past the supplier.
Yeah, it's just, you know what, it shouldn't even involve it at all, and there should be no reason why there is any sort of involvement with horse meat and human food, or horse meat shouldn't be even meat. It shouldn't be even horse meat. It should just be horses. But
yeah.
I would like to point out that the one great thing about Burger King is you know, if you need to make a run to the Crown or whatever, I guess I'm not a run to the border, it's the King, you need to go see the King. Burger King is the one fast food joint that sells veggie burgers. Whoop, whoop. So you can just go get yourself a veggie burger at Burger King. Did you know that?
There you go.
And it's delicious. And it's when I have to go through a drive-thru, I go, I'm like, is there Burger King or Subway? Oh, or, well, sometimes Taco Bell.
Do we have any idea what they actually put in veggie burgers?
Ooh, it's probably dead horses, obviously. No, it's veggies. Actually, you can see the veggies. They're like, oh, that's a piece of carrot. Oh, there's an olive. Like, it's actually veggies, and it's really good. They're actually Morningstar Farms brand. So I would recommend that you just avoid the whole Burger King thing altogether. But if you don't, get the veggie burger. How about that?
Yeah. It's fashion.
Yes. Now, you also had a story about Susan Corwin, who is just an amazing woman. Tell everybody what she did.
She is just such a cool lady. We met her, Horse Nation met her earlier in the year. She had started writing. She wrote a series for us called Jumping Past Cancer, a comeback story that was about her return to eventing after surviving breast cancer. And so this February, she was coming up on, or I guess late January, she was coming up on the one-year anniversary of her double mastectomy. And she decided that she was going to celebrate it by going on an Irish side saddle fox hunting expedition with Meath Hunt in Ireland. And she came back with just this, I mean, it just sounds like the best time ever, came back with this just hilarious, you know, rollicking story of this big fox hunting adventure. I guess the event she was taking part in was the Meath Hunt wanted to break the Guinness Book World Record for the most ladies riding aside to hounds, at one time. And so they had like 50 women out riding side saddle. And it just sounds crazy. They were jumping these giant ditches. I mean, I think it sounds like everyone fell off, but everyone just seems to be having the best time ever. Probably, you know, I think there is a reason why people carry flasks when they're fox hunting, but let's see, there was one quote in this story that I just have to read to you. She's riding this pony side saddle. She's jumping these giant ditches, and she writes, after about the second ditch, a very kind Irish gentleman handed me his flask and assured me that the more I drank now, the smaller the ditches would get, and the more I drank at the pub later, the bigger they would get. I loved that. I loved it.
So true. So true. Well, definitely, it is well worth it to go to horsenation.com and see these photos. Oh my gosh! I mean, these pictures almost take you back to like 1920. Or even earlier, the 1800s, because it's these women that are astride. I mean, so I cannot imagine even attempting to ride side saddle. And here's the women that not only have never ridden side saddle, one of them had never even ridden outside of an arena. And here she is off on this fox hunting expedition side saddle, in Ireland. So I've heard that the Irish fox hunting is – like, our fox hunting in the U.S. is peanuts compared to what they actually have to do in Ireland. So, I mean, it's like home of fox hunting. So just to see these women, they're covered in mud at the end of it. They're dirty, but they're still elegant and astride on their horse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then they all go to the pub afterwards.
Except for one. There's the lady Martha Sitwell, who obviously is, you know, royalty of some kind, who at the end of the hunt, they show her she's cut. I mean, they're wearing these elegant big coats and everything. Her horse is covered in mud. She's covered in mud, and she's smoking a cigarette right there at the end.
Yeah, that's a great one. That is a great one.
She looks very stressed.
Yeah. And then there's this other great picture of her a little while later being carried out of the pub. She looks like she might be passed out by a British cavalry officer.
My guess is Martha has been known to cause some trouble for the family, poor Lady Martha.
She
like,
this
awesome.
Chick is amazing. I mean, all these women are amazing that are doing this. And I just love the fact that,
yeah.
you know, in this kind of situation, you know, they're supposed to be prim, proper ladies sitting side saddle, and they got mud smeared on their face. There's pictures of them biting the dust. I mean, they're biting the mud, really. There's horses that are in the ditches, and the girls are trying to climb over the it is well worth the read, so go check it out at horsenation.com for sure. Now, the random last thing we're going to talk about is, what is wrong with the Swedes? The Swedish people are weird.
Now, yes, one of our Facebook friends alerted us to this Swedish Facebook page called... it's in Swedish, but it translates to horses do not exist. And the premise is horses do not exist, which is scientifically proven. We also support the fact that a horse is a fruit. Conclusively, a horse is a fruit that does not exist. Yeah, I know. Wrap your head around that. It's impossible. And so basically it's this, and they have, Not only is this completely ridiculous, obviously, but they have this, I mean, they've got, have like 235,000 Facebook likes, people who are, who like this Facebook page that is promoting the non-existence of horses.
yeah. What are we riding? I'm missing, what are we riding? Then, if horses don't exist.
No, well, see, that's what's, it's just kind of supposed to be, I guess it's supposed to be funny. I just don't get Swedish sense of humor at all. And I mean, the comments on their Facebook page are like, I went to a barn once. It was empty. The horse is a lie. I knew it. I have a horse, but that's impossible. Thus, I have no horse. I mean, it's just so bizarre. They've got pictures of the people riding bananas, jumping stadium fences. I mean, it's just so weird. And if you want to have your brain screwed up, go ahead and check this part out on horsenation.com. It's called 235,000 Swedes. Can't be wrong. Horses.
Well, I got to tell you though that we have to qualify that we have quite a few Swedish listeners to our show, and they are not the crazy ones. Just qualifying.
Well, I would love for them to come on and explain the humor in this. And that, well, I mean, I guess it's funny, you know, why not? But well, I don't get it. Do they think it's funny being Swedish? Is that funny? Is that something that they've heard, like horses don't exist?
I don't know.
All right, Swedish people, let's go. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for coming on, as you do every Monday, getting us caught up. Congratulations and happy birthday to Horse Nation. 1 year. Whoop, whoop. And thanks for the shout-out on your horsenation.com.
Of course. Well, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay, sounds good. Talk to you Monday.
Well, a couple other news things here before we call it a day. We were talking about the celebrities earlier. You mentioned one of your favorite celebrities. Well, did you know that Justin Bieber rides?
No, he does not.
Apparently he
does. Really?
Yes, apparently. He posted a picture on his Twitter, I think, and it was a picture of him out riding with his jeans and his t-shirt that he's known for, with his hat on backwards, his baseball hat on backwards, I might say. And he wrote underneath the caption was, "Today's a horse riding day, don't you think?" And there's this picture of him riding with Little Twist and Little Za. Little Za and Little Twist. I don't know either one of them. Do you know either one of them?
Well, of course I do. Little Za and Little Twist. I mean, I'm a huge fan. Wait, who?
Apparently they're other singers, and they're his like best friends, so they're his BFFs, and he hangs out with them. But there is a picture of him sitting on a horse, looking rather miserable, actually, on this picture when you take a close look at it. I pity the poor horse, actually, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what it looks like when you look closely at this picture, because I'm looking at it, and you know when guys ride that don't know how to ride and they're sitting on a horse and parts of them are getting squished that they don't want to get squished, and they're putting their hands on the horse's neck to try to kind of like move and reposition things that are getting squished. That's what he looks like. He looks like incredibly uncomfortable.
He does kind of look like that. That's funny.
Yeah, that's what he looks like. Although, I don't know where they're riding. I would like to go there because it looks like they're riding in California, like up some trail in the mountains with the city of L.A. below them, and I would like to go there. Let's find out where they're riding.
Well, you know, he keeps maybe riding. He's taken up riding because he's having this problem with that fancy car he drives because he keeps getting pulled over for speeding and for, you know, all kinds of things. So maybe that's why he's taking up horseback riding.
A little slower, a little safer. Why not?
To replace his car. Now, we also were talking about, you were talking about horse meat and all of that. Well, the BLM came out and over the weekend and said it's got new policies now to strengthen its wild horse and burro situation and to ensure humane treatment of animals and greater transparency. Of course, the BLM has taken it on the chin over its roundups and all the videos that have come out about that. And also letting that guy in Colorado adopt 17 horses and then sell them for meat. So, you know, they've taken a lot of crap here recently from congressmen and senators and the public.
170, so not 17, 170.
Oh, did I say 17? Yeah, I meant 170. Yeah, it was 1,700.
1,700, even better.
Yeah, well, it was 1,700 horses, yeah. So now, look at this. These changes, this is what the BLM director says. These changes are part of an ongoing commitment to ensure the humane treatment of animals that are gathered from our public rangelands. In addition, increasing public transparency is a cornerstone of this administration's approach to our work. The new policies represent significant and substantial improvements, and we anticipate additional steps in the future to continue to strengthen this program. Transparency has been one of the biggest problems with the BLM. No, they would hide things. They wouldn't tell anybody anything. You know, I hope that what they're saying is true, but I kind of think that we're just, you know, we're just throwing these out there, and then we're going to, you know, go back to old ways. I don't know. They do have a hotline or on the website where you can go and report if you see any BLM horses that have been sold at an auction that are going to go for meat or to, you know, to a slaughterhouse. You can report them and things like that. So they have set that up. And they're supposed to be improving the way they gather the horses. Of course, they're doing it with helicopters now. And, you know, and also they're supposed to be improving the pens and everything that they keep them in. So let's hope that a lot of this is true.
Let's seriously stop gathering since we don't have room in these little tiny pens that they have them in anyway. I mean, it's just an awful situation. It makes me sick to my stomach. And, you know, they are finally instituting a no more than 4 wild horses or burros can be bought by an individual or group within a 6-month period. Unless you get prior approval of the assistant director, which just sounds like if you grease my palm, I'll adopt you at 17,000 horses. I mean, I don't know. The whole thing is just so shady. It's just so shady.
It really is. Now, and then there's, you know, the groups out there, you know, like we've talked about in the past. We had the lady on from the wine company. And, you know, a couple of others that have been trying to adopt more and more of them, and they do have the land to put them on, and they've been getting nothing but red tape. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is just, we're going to put out an article about how great we are and tell you what we're going to do to improve everything. And you know what? I'm going to have a helicopter come over my house and round me up in a second or say all of this. I don't know. The BLM scares me. But it's just a shady organization, sadly. And I don't think that anybody in the BLM is in it for the best of the Mustangs or the Burros. So I should just shut up now. That's just the way I feel.
Well, I'm going to go to something a little bit lighter here. If you didn't get a chance to visit our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, I posted a picture of a – did you get to see the picture of the birthday cake that a friend of ours had?
Yes, it's so cute.
It was a birthday cake. It was a horse birthday cake, and there's a little, you know, toy horse on the birthday cake, and it looks like he's out in the pasture. Well, what was different about this birthday cake is there were all the little plops of poo all over the pasture. And they looked rather realistic.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, if you look at the birthday cake again, look at the plops. They're piles of poo all over the pasture.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, well, it's still cute. I don't care. Some man had that made, didn't it?
No, it was her sister that did it. So. And she does work, the girl who got this cake, Jessica, does work at a farm. So she cleans poo all day. So that was kind of, it was just a funny birthday cake to see it. And there were a couple comments from our listeners on there going, I want the horse end. Thank you. So
yeah, that's great. Well, at least the poo is going to be chocolate icing. So
that's true.
Delicious.
That's funny. Well, let's call it a day. Sounds like your voice needs a break and you got your dad there. So we'll be back
here
on Wednesday.
I got another exciting, this is just to send you off with a little bit of fun. I got a phone call from my doctor and they said that they needed me to report for an ultrasound today. And I said, well, okay. I mean, I have a sheet that says all the different things that I'm supposed to have done, you know, monthly and all these things. And I said, this is not on the sheet. And she was like, well, you know, due to the AMA status that you're having and this and that and this and that. And finally I said, well, can I ask you a question? What is AMA status? What does that mean? And she says, well, we need you to do this ultrasound because you are advanced maternal age. God, that hurt.
Ouch.
Ouch, right? So I'm having my old-ass mama ultrasound today.
So in one weekend, your dad calls you fat, and your doctor calls you old.
I'm fat and old, pretty much, and I'm just going to pop out a kid. And then apparently you say I'm not going to be able to ride anymore. So this is just a great day. If I could drink, I would start drinking right now. Thanks. Face. Well, I don't know where everybody went, but I'm signing off. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, and geld.
See you Wednesday, everybody.
Oh, there you go.
Well, for tomorrow.
I thought I got rid of you.
Sorry about the tech problem. Jennifer will fix it.
Peace, guys.